What's going on, guys? Perfect. All right. What's going on, guys? Welcome to Calling All Craft Beer. God, this is episode 91, I believe. Good grief. I'm like, where am I? I'm getting close to that 100 mark. And I'm excited about that. That's pretty cool. So, this week has been kind of a cool week. You know, definitely had some good brews. I got some stuff from NorCal, from Slice Beer, from my buddy Mike over there. And still dipping into some of these Chi-Town beers from my buddy Andrew. Actually hit up a new brewery that remains to be reviewed. I don't know. It's kind of a funky situation, and I'll tell you guys about that real quick. So let's actually get into that before I review the brew. So we went to, and I'm putting this out there only because I don't know, right? I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not making accusations. I really don't know what the situation is, but it's very odd, and I think you guys will feel the same way. So we went to Lost City Brewing, which is in Miami Beach, I guess, or Miami, sure, whatever, Miami Lakes. And one of the owners was actually a guy that used to work at Flipside Bottle Shop, and I recognized him when he walked in and, you know, talked to him a little bit. And we actually got together. It was essentially a memorial for my good friend Miguel that passed away last year, and his family, his friends, coworkers, his girlfriend, you know, all of us got together and celebrated him, essentially. And we did it there, and they were cordial enough to basically allow us free reign of the space. They allowed us to bring in our own food, you know, all kinds of good stuff like that. And as long as we paid for beer. And they're normally pretty slow on Sundays, so we had that place jammed out. And post visit to the brewery, my debit card gets hacked, right? My card, probably, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. We went there Sunday. Tuesday or Wednesday, my card gets used. I don't know if it was used online or if it was used over the phone or if it was, I don't know. I don't have enough information from the bank. All they said was the card was keyed in. So could mean it was used in person. Maybe it had absolutely nothing to do with the brewery. I don't know. But multiple other people who were there the same day had issues with their cards post visit to the brewery. Okay. So, and I'm not going to mention their names or anything because they're not, you know, it's not my duty to put their stuff out there. But I reached out to a few people and just asked because I was like, that's the only weird random place that I really was at. Like, what could have possibly happened? So I called the brewery and I asked, you know, I said, hey, I was like, you know, I know this sounds really weird and I don't want you guys to think I'm accusing anybody. I'm like, but, you know, I visited your brewery on Sunday. We were there with, you know, the big group of people who came in for the memorial. And a couple days later, my car got hacked. And I reached out to basically everybody in the group and had several other people come forward and say they had the same problem. And the guy immediately got defensive and was like, oh no, you know, there's only four of us here. We're all owners. There's no employees. You know, every person who works behind the bar is an owner of the brewery. And I kind of just like to myself, I'm like, well, that doesn't mean that you wouldn't steal someone's credit card information, but okay. Just because you're an owner, I mean, there could be one of you that's a scumbag and you don't realize it. I don't know. But at the end of the day, you know, we filed a police report and we're ultimately waiting to see what happens. I don't know if anything's going to become of it. You know, at the end of the day, I think with a lot of this stuff, the bank just ends up disputing it. You get your money back. And unless they find any real means to be concerned about something, nothing's going to happen anyway. But I hope that if it was them or if it was one of them or something happened there, that at least someone calling in and letting them know like what was going on or that they're on to them, then maybe they'll chill out. I don't know. And I could be completely wrong. It could just be a coincidence, not a common coincidence, but it could be a coincidence. So, but let me give them their due brew reviews, because I will say that I did enjoy the beers for sure. So the first one I had on the day was called Olita River. Obviously, a tribute to Miami. And it's a American IPA, nice and hoppy, subtle citrus with light pine, massively crushable. Rated a 4.0 out of 5 on Untappd. Great beer. Really enjoyed it. Actually had a couple of those, but obviously I'm only going to review it once. The second one I had was called La Prima. It was their brown ale, 6.7% ABV. Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you, the Olita River is 6.9%. So all of their beers essentially were lower on the ABV scale. La Prima is a 6.7% brown ale, rated a 3.8 out of 4 on Untappd. I mean, out of 5 on Untappd. Light and malty with a smoky finish, nice brown ale. Simple, easy, nothing crazy to write home about, but a good beer, right? Just good overall beer. Third one was Lemongrass Blonde Ale. Now this one, now see, it didn't say on their paperwork that it was a Belgian blonde, right? It just said, it was just called Lemongrass Blonde Ale. And I was thinking more something of like a grassy, lemony, like blonde, because I'm not a big Belgian fan. Like, I don't like that. I don't know if it's saffron or what the what's that? There's another one that starts with a C. I can't remember the name of it, but another like spice that gives it that Belgian-y flavor. Not a fan. Like, I just don't really like it. And so I rated this one a 3.5 out of 5 on Untappd. And my essential review was a little hint of Belgian in there that threw me off a little, but I still enjoyed it. And I did. I mean, I enjoyed the beer. It wasn't absolutely terrible. It just wasn't my favorite. And the last one was their Oktoberfest. Got me a nice 22-ounce stein of that bad boy. Best one of the day. 4.2 out of 5. Clean, malty, creamy, and delicious. Perfect Oktoberfest offering. Killer beer. So, review on the brewery. Brewery's awesome, right? It's really cool. It's eclectic looking. They have the way they have it set up. The artwork is neat. Like, it's got plenty of places to sit. It's got a lot of room considering that it's kind of a small place, but they have a beer garden area in the back that you can walk around to. It is not air conditioned, so it was hot as a motherfucker, but they try to keep the doors and everything open to keep a nice breeze coming through. And at least, thank God, they have air conditioning in the bathrooms. So if you really get overheated, you can go in the bathroom and hang out for a few minutes and cool off. But that's the only negative, right, was that they didn't have AC. Other than that, you know, the beers were good. The service was great. We enjoyed it, and other than the whole credit card thing, I don't have anything to complain about, right? And again, the credit card thing, I don't know that it happened. I don't know. It's not. I can't confirm 100%, you know, without further investigation and whatnot, but it definitely seemed odd that, you know, five of us from that group all had issues with the card after the fact. So, and I didn't, you know, and I will be honest too and say that I didn't ask, was it the one you used at the brewery? So, I mean, it could very well be a coincidence, but it's just an uncommon coincidence. So then my boy Mike hit me up and shot me out some NorCal brewers. So Slice Beer, Altamont Beer Works. What else do I got in there? He sent me a Revision. Reno as fuck. It's one I've had before, but it's good. And majority of them were Slice. There's a... So I started off with a Doe Montana, right? Which is an American West Coast style IPA. It's actually a collab between Slice and Cellar Maker. It's a 7% ABV, like West Coast style IPA. Massive, clean, crisp, piney, perfect West Coast IPA. Loved it. 4.5 out of 5 on Untappd. That's the kind of beer I could drink all fucking day, right? I could have 10 cans of Doe Montana all day long. Yard work, food, doesn't matter. It was just, it's one of those beers that you can just drink over and over and over and over again. And it was absolutely fantastic. I am definitely on the clear beer train right now. Then the second one was Captain Kush from Altamont Beer Works, 8.5% double West Coast style IPA. Rated this one a 4.2 out of 5. Clean, crisp, dank, funky, clear, and delicious. Not quite as good as Doe Montana, but it was up there, right? Obviously, anything above a 4 is going to be damn good on my scale. And this was actually also a collab with Altamont and Moonraker. So make sure we put that out there. The overall rating on this one is a 4.02. Mine was a 4.2. The Doe Montana was just under a 4.2. It was a 4.18. I know, 4.24, and I rated a 4.5. So it's a little, compared to everybody else, I was probably a little happy, but I loved it. So then we got Flashback. So Flashback is an American IPA 100% Centennial hops. Well, it says 100% Centennial hops, but then when you read the can says Centennial and I think Citra. But their untapped presentation of the beer and whatnot says 100% Centennial hops. It's invasive species, 7%. I enjoyed it. You know, I mean, I thought it was a damn good beer. Like, it's just one of those, like, classic IPAs. And it's a little hazy, but it's not a New England. You know, it's more clear than it is haze. But I enjoyed it. And I rated that one a 4.2 out of 5 on Untappd. Then we get into the other one. So I got a single can of Splash Pad Rainbow Sour from Invasive, which is a brand new sour they put out. 7% ABV. I rated a 4.0 out of 5. It wasn't as good as the other sours that I've had from Invasive Species, but it wasn't a kettle sour. It's just regular, you know, sour beer. Solid sour with a lot of flavor. Was more tart than I expected, but what it should be, lightly creamy. The only thing I didn't like about it was it was supposed to be a rainbow sherbet sour, and I really only got like raspberry and a little bit of citrus. So it wasn't, I don't know, I didn't get a lot of like rainbow, I don't know. I mean, maybe when you eat rainbow sherbet, that's probably the two most prevalent flavors is raspberry and friggin' citrus anyway. So maybe I'm overthinking it. But it just wasn't quite as good as some of the other sours that I've had from Invasive in the past. Still rating it a 4.0. I mean, it was a damn good sour, so I can't complain. Last one. So, all right, this is a funky name, right? So, Moore Brewing Company out of Chi-Town. My buddy Andrew sent me this one. It's called Neti Patum Praline. It's a barley wine, an American barley wine. It's 13.8%, so it's a heavy bitch. And it is reminding me of a liquid version of candied pralines and cinnamon pralines from the fairs and amusement parks. So you know how you have those little stands at the fairs and the amusement parks where you can go and you can buy like roasted nuts and you can buy candied pralines, candied pecans, candied, you know, cashews or cinnamon dusted, you know, oh, dude, it was literally like they ground those up and put them, liquefied them and put them in a can. It was so amazing. It is definitely a sipper because it's a heavy. Like, I mean, this beer's got some body to it and some weight. So you can't, it's not something that I would suggest. If I would have tried to drink it too fast, I probably would have puked. And not because of anything to do with the beer, just because of the weight of it on my stomach, especially considering at the time I was drinking it, I was eating and I had other stuff going on. So, but rich, thick, and slightly boozy, but that praline flavor rocked it, solid as fuck. 4.5 out of 5 on Untappd. Really, really, really enjoyed it. It's not every day that I enjoy a barley wine, right? Now, barley wines to me are hit or miss. They are, sometimes they're just, straight booze, right? It's just a booze hound. Like, I mean, there's no other flavor. There's not, if I wanted that, I would just drink whiskey, right? And so sometimes they can be, you know, just like some stouts, right? A stout can be just a booze fest, like straight up booze in a glass. Like I said, if I wanted something like that, I could go drink some whiskey. I don't need to drink a beer that just tastes like booze. But this one, man, like I thoroughly enjoyed it. I believe I have a porter left from him that he sent me out of my Chi-Town package that came. I got to send him out a pack, and I got to get Mike out a return bomb too. So they, I got a few local beers I want to pick up that just hit the market before I send out those packages, but it was good. And then I want to see something real quick. Drank this beer one night and finished it the next day, deserving of a night on the couch and second day of refreshment, a hearty barley wine, gently cloaked in warm nuts and dusting of spice, truly masked in just right and oh so good. Cool. So my buddy Drew drank this. He didn't rate it though, which is weird, but that was his review. I liked reading that because we're pretty much on the same page with that, but I'm surprised that he didn't actually rate it. He just gave it a review. But that was a good review, right? I mean, a damn good review. So this, the silliness of this past week has just been, you know, it's off the chain. But getting my ass kicked a little bit because The my nerve pain is coming back a little bit in my back. So the past week has been a lot of sleeping in chairs, right? And I'm just pushing forward, man. I'm just doing, you know, the best that I can. I'm just trying to stay positive and keep moving. And yesterday was pretty awesome. I went and did some filming for the company that I'm working with, and went and met with a good buddy of mine, Dan, that has a training facility out in Weston called Kinetic Training. And he does a lot of like tactical fitness training. He works with like military, first responders, police, firefighters, you know, works with people on like explosiveness, like springing into action kind of movements, you know, things like that that are required of like first responders. But he also does a lot of stretching and movement based muscle activation that's not necessarily related to weights and stuff like that. And I'll tell you what, man, he got me warmed up for this shoot yesterday. And when I got there, I was limping around. Like I was hurting. I was like, damn, dude, it's going to take a lot to get through this, but I'm going to make it happen and just be strong and do it. And he got me warmed up and had me go through this round of just warm-up exercises that were, I mean, minimal when you think about it. He had me use a belt that I need to get that's called the breath belt. And it's basically like you would almost call it like a lifting belt, but it's a little bit different because it does have some, it's not rigid. It does have some flexibility to it and you can breathe through it, but it also keeps your C-spine centered and it keeps you, you know, vertical and it keeps you nice and tight in your core. And I enjoyed it a lot actually wearing it. But he had me do, you know, probably about 15 minutes of like warm-ups. And dude, by the time I was done with that, I was like, shit, I'm ready to go. And we did. I mean, it was all action from that point on. I mean, we're talking bench press. We're talking pushing this sled, you know, thing that he has with like one hand. It's magnetic. Instead of having a sled that actually has weights that go on top of it, which you can still put weights on top of the sled, but you don't need to because it actually uses magnets to add resistance to the wheels. So the higher intensity you put the magnets on, electromagnets, it makes it harder to push the damn thing. So it could feel like there's 500 pounds of resistance on it when there's nothing on the thing. So I did some of that. We did like sandbag cleans, we did sandbag RDLs to curls, we did punching bag, we did shit, all kinds of stuff. And the BAMF hammer was probably my favorite thing of the day, which is a big ass motherfucking hammer, and it's a square hammer, right? Like Thor style. And the concept is to get low with it, and when you hit it on the floor and it lands perfectly flat, it goes whack and makes this like crazy like whacking sound and pops. But if you don't get it flat, obviously it's square. So if you hit it on the angle, it goes bouncing off to the side and you have to like recover it and then come back to it. And man, I had a lot of fun doing that stuff. And he, you know, it's just cool hanging out with Dan, man, because this is like functional training that like a lot of people don't get to do. And I enjoyed it. And my sore today, fuck yes. My shoulder sore as shit. My feet are sore. My legs are sore. And the crazy part is I didn't even go through a full workout. I literally did probably a third of what like he would normally do putting somebody through a workout. Now I might have done more movements, but he would typically put most people through like three or four rounds of each thing that he was having me do. And I probably did like eight or nine different movements. So my total movement base was probably a little bit more than what most people do. But he had me do only one or two, like of each, really. I mean, might have done a little bit more than that because sometimes the photographer or videographer that was shooting me was like, oh, you know, I need a couple more shots. I need you to do a couple more. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. I'm like, all right, no problem. So I ended up kind of going back and forth multiple times. But punching the bag was a bitch, right? They talk about like 30-second intervals. And dude, they're like 12 to 15 seconds. I was like exhausted. But it was tough, you know? I mean, I'm still, you know, 270 pounds plus ish around there, you know, and moving like that is very different than just getting under, you know, a bar on a machine and pressing weights and riding on an exercise bike and shit like that. So I had a lot of fun and I like doing stuff like that. And it's definitely something that I want to keep working on with Dan at least once a week, because I think that I need that, you know, overall just to make me better. But let's talk a little bit real quick about, excuse me. Good grief. My allergies are kicking my ass. No, it's not COVID. It's allergies. I've been working in the yard and stuff. So, geez, like today especially, went out this morning and just did dog poop cleanup, which thankfully was not bad because myself and my kids have been doing really well at keeping up with it and not letting it overflow our yard. But I got to do grass today and weed whacking and pull some weeds and all that good stuff. So I got a long day ahead of me. But like, I'm seeing kind of a shift in the climate right now of when it comes to like the mandates and the vaccines and stuff like that. And what's cool about that is you're starting to see people who may have initially been like pro mandate or like on the opposing side where they were, you know, like giving people a hard time and saying, oh, like you better get vaccinated. Blah, 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 blah. Obviously the mouthpieces, you know, like the people like the Whoopi Goldbergs of the world and, you know, things like that are still out there, you know, trying to make everybody feel like they're not doing their civic duty by not getting a vaccine and whatever else. But I'm seeing a climate shift with a lot of people who initially were very pro kind of now coming out and saying, you know what, there's a little more to this than I think there is. And it's not that they're admitting to any concerns or, you know, whatnot, but they're starting to realize that freedom is a bigger issue than this whole, you know, vaccine scenario. And I think at the end of the day, you know, people continuously make the argument, well, you've been getting vaccinated all your life. Your kids have had to get vaccinated to go to schools, you know, this and that. And the thing that's completely different about this scenario is that all the vaccines that our kids have taken up to this point and the vaccines that we've taken up to this point have 25 to 30 years of scientific data behind them showing what the side effects are, showing what potential issues there are, showing the fact that there are limited adverse reactions in a lot of scenarios and things like that. These things are a year old, right? And we don't know the ramifications of what these vaccines are going to produce in the next 5 to 10 years. You know, you look at people like, you know, the doctor who's been out there and speaking vocally, you know, against them, his name is Robert, but I can't remember his last name, but he's a guy who essentially was part of the team that invented the mRNA technology. And he's saying within 2 years, everybody who got vaccinated is going to die. And that, I mean, he's been that like vocal about it. And I hope that's not the case. I mean, I hope that that's, you know, I'm sure there are some people that are going to fare differently, you know. And then we got the, you know, the Pfizer scientist who came out yesterday with Project Veritas. And he's like, yeah, you know, there's certain people that the vaccine just doesn't work on. Like, wow. Okay. You know, I mean, after everything else that you guys have already said, how natural immunity is better than the vaccine. And, you know, it doesn't make any sense. It's like we're out here and we're pushing a cure that doesn't need to be pushed. Right, you're talking about a virus that has a 99.7% survival rate, and they're shoving this vaccine down everybody's throats and trying to close the country down. If you guys don't see a bigger picture in all this associated with now, like now we've got, you know, Governor DeSantis has come out and basically reached out to the Port Authority officials and said, bring the ships here. So there are currently over 70,000 ships and tankers out in the ports. I mean, sitting out in the oceans surrounding the United States because they're not allowing them to dock and unload their cargo. And they're citing COVID and lack of personnel, whatever else, as the reason But then when you talk to the people, they're saying we're not allowed to work. They're telling us there's no work, but there's 70,000 ships out off the coast of the United States. You know, there are some conspiracy theorists out there who believe that some of these cargo ships might be camouflaged warships from China and stuff like that. And I really hope that's not the case. But I do believe you're seeing a lot of pictures popping up now of empty shelves in stores like Walmart, Target, grocery stores, you know, things like that. Obviously, we have supply chain issues in the United States right now. You know, working in the supplement industry, I see it. We literally have products that we cannot make right now because we can't get raw materials to finish making the products that we have. So we have products that have been out for months because we cannot get raw materials. The company that I'm working with now just recently had to change their bottles from clear blue to white because they could no longer get the clear blue bottles, and the timeline of which they were given in order to get them just didn't fiscally make any sense, because they were like, so we're going to wait 6 months to get to stick with the original bottles that we had, or we can just swap to the white ones and have them today. So they made the switch and they did what they had to do to make sure that they're keeping their products on the shelves and providing them for their customers. So we're seeing this all over the place, right? And I love the fact that Governor DeSantis came forward and said, look, bring the ships here. Florida ports are open. We have the staff. We have the personnel. We can handle it. We're ready. Bring it here. We're not going to allow the country or Floridians to be stuck, you know, in a situation where supply chain is causing our people to not have what they need, you know, to not be able to get products. You know, I mean, you got Joe Biden talking out there telling people to go buy Christmas presents now because it looks like the shelves are going to be bare come Christmas. What is this? I mean, come on, guys. If you don't see a greater agenda at work throughout this whole entire thing, then I don't know. I don't really know what you're watching, right? It just does not make any sense. All this stuff goes hand in hand, right? So he passed a $3.5 trillion infrastructure bill that has, I mean, so much crap buried in it, like the per mile gas tax, the $600 IRS, reporting deal now, where any transaction over $600 has to be reported to the IRS through any means of funds transfer. So PayPal now has to be reported. PayPal's now no longer allowing people to simply just use it as a means. Now they're asking you for your social security number and they want to issue you tax paperwork. I mean, Zelle's already part of your bank account, but I meant Venmo, Cash App, all of them. Any transaction over $600 now has to be reported to the IRS. So you can now no longer transfer money in any way, shape, or form without having your social security number attached to it and having the government see anything over $600. Used to be 10,000. Why is it now 600? It's insane. And another part of this whole infrastructure piece that goes along with the $600 is that if you have $600 or more in your bank account, they can legally, as of January 1st, confiscate your funds to a percent and put it towards infrastructure bill spending. So if the government deems that you have too much money, they can literally go into your bank account, pull money out of it, whether you need it or not, and they can put it towards the $3.5 trillion infrastructure bill, but then they want everybody to believe that they're not raising taxes. Yeah, they're not raising taxes because they're not telling you what they're going to take. They're going to go look at your bank account and they're going to go, oh, this guy's got 10 grand sitting in his savings. Take that shit. He don't need it. What are you going to do then? You know, it's absolutely ridiculous. Then we're still going down the path of, you know, things like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and other, you know, over-the-counter cheap medicines that work against the coronavirus that are being vilified, and people are being told, no, they don't work, horse dewormer. And, you know, I listened to Joe Rogan's podcast, you know, the other day, and he's going off on Sanjay Gupta from CNN. He's like, dude, like your news network was literally telling people that I was taking horse dewormer when it was prescribed to me by a doctor in human form, and I recovered from COVID in 48 hours. You know, and it's like, he's like, obviously I had other medications. I took vitamins. You know, I think he also had a Z-Pack or something like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, dude recovered from COVID in 48 hours. And then he took an antibody test recently and showed the results of the antibodies, and he had the strongest antibodies. You know, and I'm like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. You know, and it makes, I mean, obviously it does make sense, because at the end of the day, if Big Pharma controls the government, and they're making billions of dollars off of the vaccines and remdesivir and all these other not so effective forms of treatment that are actually killing people, but they're making money off of it, why would they want to sell you, you know, ivermectin, which costs $1 per dose or less? I think ivermectin's actually cheaper than, like, hydroxychloroquine was $1 per dose, and ivermectin I think is even cheaper than that, like $9 per prescription, you know, something like that. So yeah, they're not going to make any money off that. Why would they want you to have a cheaper form of therapeutic? They'd rather drive up the taxpayer dollars spent by giving out monoclonal antibodies and all this other stuff that are thousands of dollars per administration. And I keep hearing people say it's free. It's not free. We're paying for it. We're, at the end of the day, our taxes are going to pay for this. Our Social Security is going to be gone. Our kids are going to be left with nothing. And if you don't see the writing on the wall, I don't know what to tell you. You know, most people around the United States right now are paying an average of $3.50 a gallon for regular gas, when it was $2.30 last I remember during the Trump administration. So it was $1.10 more per gallon. Inflation just hit a record high of 8%. On a national budgeted allowance of 2%. So we're 6% above where the US typically wants to be per year for inflation. And the reason why, I would say the reason why a lot of people that are in stable situations probably don't realize it as much is because it's small amounts spaced out over a lot of products, right? So you might go to Target today and be able to get, you know, a gallon of whole milk for $2.99 because it's on sale. But next week, when it goes back to $3.59, you don't even realize that it went up 10 cents because the regular price was $3.49 6 months ago. Now it's $3.59. Or that bottle or that box of cereal that you've been spending $5 to $6 on a month, or, you know, every time you buy it for your kids, that the box size is the same, but if you look down at the bottom where it says how many ounces are in it, it went from 15 to 13.2. It's called shrinkflation. You know, I mean, they literally keep things in the same size container so it looks the same on the shelf. But what you don't realize is that from 1 month to the next, 1 week to the next, they're actually giving you less product. And by doing that, they're cutting their costs down to make up for the inflation, and they're charging you the same amount for the product, but they're giving you less, so it's costing less to be manufactured, right? So it's insane when you look at all this stuff that's going on, and you look at, and I mean, it's just incredible that people don't correlate, you know, this whole situation and look at it and go, this is how you destroy an economy. This is how you force people to look to the government for bailouts. And this is when anytime the government walks in the room and says, we're here to help, it's fucking bullshit, because they're not here to help. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to put that whole New World Order, you know, global currency style deal into effect, where they can walk in and tell Americans, look, the dollar's not worth shit. We fucked it all up. The economy crashed. but here, we're here to help. We're going to offer you yearly supplemental income, not supplemental, a yearly base income that everybody's going to get. We're going to wipe out your debts so you no longer have to pay, for the debt that you have. But in order for you to do that, you have to sign over rights to all your personal property. It's not going to happen. I can tell you right now that at least 50% of the people in the United States are not handing over what they worked their asses off for to the government to get bailed out. It's not going to happen. That's why I actually talked about this on my other podcast with my buddy John, who's a financial advisor, and this is, what he does for a living. And he said, man, he's like, start investing right now in physical things that you can use as forms of currency. Gold, silver, platinum, copper, coins, things like that that can be used as physical. And we're not talking about quarters, dimes, and nickels. We're talking about like antique coins, pure silver coins, things like that can be used as a means of currency should the central bank system go down and electronic banking be gone and the dollar be no longer be valuable. So precious metals, ammunition, which is big, because if you have an influx of ammunition, you can essentially use it as currency at some point because you'll be able to trade it for goods. Excuse me. And then to make sure that you have at least 2 to 3 months worth of supplies to take care of your family. Water, food, toilet paper, things like that. Stuff that is necessary in order for you to live should the shelves run dry, run bare at your local stores. It's just crazy when you think about it, really, all the shit that's going on, because a lot of us, because I've been paying attention to this shit for a long time, but a lot of people out there don't even know that this is a concern right now because they choose to live with their heads in the sand. We've been living in a world right now, and we've been living in a country for so long that is all about convenience. I mean, everything that has been changed, moved, done in the last 25, 30 years has been about convenience. Cell phones, touch pay, fingerprint identification, like all this shit is stuff that we've become accustomed to. People don't want to wait in line anymore, right? You can literally just go online and order your stuff and show up at the store and they carry it out to your car. Curbside service, there is no such thing as patience in this world anymore. Everybody is about instant gratification. Doesn't matter what it is. You can essentially order anything you want, pretty much, and have it show up at your doorstep the next day. Some cases within hours. How many times have you logged on to Amazon? It's like, hey, if you buy this today, you buy this before 4 p.m. today, and you spend at least $35, it could be at your door in 6 hours. Come on, man. I don't need it that fast, right? But that's how our society and our country right now has been groomed. Because essentially they don't want to wait for shit. They want what they want, and they want it now. Our kids are going through that shit. Like, our kids are so used to Amazon and getting stuff, the next day. When they have to wait for something for a week, they're like pacing back and forth at the door, like, oh, where's my stuff? Where's my, thing showing up? And then you got, like, one of the things that kills me is that my girls and my wife have gotten big on this Chinese clothing thing called Shein, right? And the thing that kills me about it is that it's super, super cheap. Like, they buy shirts for like $5-6, stuff like that, pants for $10. And is it all great quality? No, sometimes they wash it once or twice and it's pretty much shitty after that, but for what they pay for, it doesn't matter. But they're able to buy this stuff because it's coming from China, and it's a third the cost of what they would be able to buy the same products for here in the United States, which is why they do it, right? Because they can go on a shopping spree. My wife can say, okay, you each have $40. Go on the website and pick out what you want. They can get 10 things for $40. Whereas if we took them to Target or the mall or whatever and gave them $40, they'd be lucky to get two things. So I see the draw, but it kills me because I know that we're taking money out of Americans' pockets. I know that we are contributing to the country relying on China and other foreign countries for bringing over product and taking it out of Americans' mouths and pockets. We're taking it away from American families by spending our money there. But in that instance, it's one of those things that it's not a whole lot that I can do about it because we wouldn't be able to afford some of this stuff otherwise. Now, yes, I could put my foot down and I could say, tell my wife, I don't want you ordering from there anymore. But then I just look like a tyrannical asshole. And I can do that. You know, that's totally up to her to decide what she wants to do with that kind of stuff. You know, she handles the clothing and stuff like that for the kids. That's on them. And maybe that sounds like a cop-out, but in a way it kind of is. You know, yeah, I could be more mean about it, but my kids don't deserve that. And if they like what they're getting, who am I to not allow them to do that and to tell them otherwise? Well, you can't get 8 things from Shein. You can go to Target and buy 1. You know, at the end of the day, the money's all going into the same pockets. If you really look at the grand scheme of things. So, but I don't want to go too much further down the rabbit hole with all this stuff, but I just encourage you guys right now, you know, that if what's going on in the world, in the United States especially right now, has got you thinking or got you feeling some kind of way or getting you a little bit concerned, take action. Take action. Be prepared. You know, maybe buy a little bit extra at the grocery store next time you go. Make sure that you have a little bit extra water just in case this whole supply chain thing does come crumbling down and we don't have what we need to take care of our families. You know, buy a little bit extra of things like rice, you know, beans, you know, things like that that can be kept for a long period of time. You know, dry goods, stuff like that, canned vegetables, things like that. You know, don't be afraid to pick up a few extra. You know, if you normally buy 4 or 5, buy 10. You know, I mean, they're not that expensive, and it's usually something that you can. Rice and beans are very nutrient dense foods that can fill up, you know, can fill people up fairly easily, and they last a hell of a long time. So just think about it, you know, be safe and pay attention. You know, it doesn't mean that you have to be consumed by the news and the media and the shit that's going on. And certainly, you know, don't bury your head in the sand and be watching CNN and MSNBC. Look for independent news sources. Look for people like Project Veritas, even though they get their asses kicked and people try to say they're full of shit. They're not. And they're seeking the truth. And that's the most important part. And that's what Americans need to hear. You know, I don't know how many times somebody has to put a video out there showing 75 different news agencies literally saying the same exact thing in unison before people are going to realize that it is literally propaganda and that it is being fed to us over and over again in an attempt to condition us to be okay with the shit that's going on. It's not. We shouldn't be okay with what's going on. Nobody should be okay with what's going on right now. So be prepared, be careful, put your family first, and pay attention. Like I said, just pay attention. If you have any questions, hit me up in the DMs, shoot me an email. I'm definitely down to assist in any way that I can. And until next time, it's Skull and All Crap Beer. I'm out.